This Friday and Saturday, there's some help needed with these portraits that are being taken. Somebody needs to help sign people in. And if someone has the free time to do that this Friday and Saturday, that would be very helpful. Now, the passage of Scripture I just read, "The just shall live by faith." This is one of four times this is stated in the Word of God, and it's a very important verse of Scripture. The just shall live by faith. You see, faith and spiritual life are inseparable. Where you have one, you have the other. Now let me repeat that. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Faith and spiritual life are inseparable. Where you have one, you have the other. And where one is absent, they both are absent. Now I realize that in order to believe, you have to have life. You don't believe and then live. You have to have spiritual life to believe. Logically, life has to come first, doesn't it? Logically. You can't believe and then all of a sudden live. It takes life. It takes spiritual life to believe. But experientially, as far as our experience goes, as far as chronologically it would go, sequence of events, faith and life come at the exact same time. Now, I don't understand how to bring that together, but I don't feel the need to. There's a lot of things in the Word of God I don't understand how to bring it together, but I believe it. They come together. You believe when you live, and you live when you believe. They happen at the same time. And a mistake here is a mistake on life. That's how important this is. The just shall live by faith. The just. Now this word just. The just. There are the just and the unjust. There are the righteous and the wicked. That word just is quite often translated the righteous. This is a description of every believer. And this is such a comforting and blessed thing. I'm looking at some people who God would testify that you're righteous. You don't feel righteous. But if God says you're righteous, you're righteous. Every believer is righteous before God. Their sin was placed upon Christ, and Christ bore it and was punished for it, and His perfect righteousness is placed upon them. Thus, every believer is righteous. That's so wonderful. I'm righteous before God. There is such a thing as being truly righteous before God. This is not just a piece of paper that says you're righteous and a document that says, yeah, he's righteous, kind of like a deed or a marriage certificate. No, I am righteous. Righteous altogether in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The just. The just. The just shall live by faith. He has life before God. The law doesn't condemn him. The law finds him not guilty. He has life before God. He's not dead in sins, but he has spiritual life before God, having been begotten by the Spirit of God. The just shall live. Now, this is, like I said, I don't want to simply give the correct meaning of this passage of Scripture. I want to be one of these people who live by faith. I want to be one of these people that God says he's just, he's righteous. And I want to enter into this thing of living by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall not live by works. The just shall not live by religious ceremonies, baptism, Lord's table, and any other kind of religious ceremony you can come up with. The just shall not live by their feelings. The just shall not get assurance from their circumstances. Well, everything's going good. God must be blessing me. Or everything's going bad. I'm in trouble. No, you don't live by looking at what your circumstances appear to be. Not how good you feel or how bad you feel, how spiritual you feel or how far off you feel. The just shall live by faith. Faith finds its all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The just shall live by faith. Now listen to this. The just shall live by faith, not for faith or because of his faith. That would make faith the Savior and not the Christ. The just do not live because of their faith. The just live because Christ died for them. The just live because God the Holy Spirit gave them life. The just live because God's grace has been extended toward them and made them new creatures in Christ Jesus. The just live because their sins have been put away. They don't live because of their faith. They believe because God's done something for them. He saved them. The just do not live on their faith. You know, I can't live on my faith. My faith is a weak... It's not something I can live on. I can only live off Christ. I can't live on my faith in that sense. Faith is the means through which this life is received. Now turn with me to John 1. The just shall live by faith. Verse 12. Well, let's start in verse 10. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. Now, what's it mean to receive him? Well, we don't have to guess. Let's go on reading. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, this is what it means to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It means you believe. You rely upon his name. His name, the Lord, our righteousness. I'm relying upon his name as my righteousness before God. Every name he has, I'm relying upon his name as my salvation. I'm trusting his name. When my name is called, he's going to answer for me. Now, that's who I'm relying on. I'm relying on his name as everything in my salvation. The just shall live by faith, not by their devotions, not by their Bible reading, not by their study and effort, not by their prayers, not by their good works, not by their witnessing, not by anything they do. The just shall live by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, God told Abraham, you look at the stars, can you count them? He said, no, so shall thy seed be. Abraham believed what God said. Did Abraham have any evidence that it would take place? No. All he had was the naked word of God, and that's what faith does. Faith believes God. I want to be somebody who believes God, don't you? The just shall live by faith. Now, faith is everything in life. You know, you think of life. Just think of physical life, our physical existence. There's some people who are very ill, very weak, very sick. There's some people who are full of strength and vigor and life. You have somebody that's seemingly weak and just at the verge of death, and somebody else that's just strong. Well, Put that in a spiritual context. You have weak believers. You do. Weak believers. And you know what is the cause of their weakness? Weakness in faith. Any spiritual weakness, it can all be traced to this. A weakness in faith. And you have strong believers. And you know what they have? Strong faith. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Any growth or maturity in spiritual life comes from a growth and maturity in faith. Now, what I want to do is look at the four places that this is quoted. I was telling Lynn and Aubrey while we were driving over here, this is the verse where Martin Luther, by his own testimony, was crawling up some steps in a church of Rome on his knees. And these steps supposedly had drops of the blood of Christ on them, and it was part of a pilgrimage at the time. Somehow you could put away sin by crawling up those steps and kissing each step. And he said while he was doing that, this scripture came to his mind. He'd read it before. And it just came to his mind, the just shall live by faith. And he thought, what in the world am I doing this for? And he left that foolishness and lived by faith. Now, first thing I'd like for us to do is turn to the book of Habakkuk. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. Are you there? Habakkuk chapter 2. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. That's a wise thing to do, isn't it? To wait and see what the Lord has to say to you. May God give us grace to do that. I want to be just like Habakkuk right now. I want to wait and see what he says to me. You know, what he says to me is a whole lot more important than what I got to say to him. I want to hear what he's got to say to me. And he says, and I shall answer when I'm reproved. Now, this is what this has to do with is knowing how to answer when you're reproved and exposed for your sin. Verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, the word from God. Write it down. This is where its authority comes from. This is Scripture. This is the Word of God. Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, easy to understand, that he may run that readeth it. You ever heard that phrase? Take it and run with it. You read it, you understand it, and you take it and run with it. What a blessed thing, that he may run that readeth it. Verse 3. For the vision, the word from God is what a vision is, a revelation from God. Remember, where there's no vision, the people perish. We must have a word from God. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Now, a whole lot of what we believe has to do with the future, doesn't it? It's about what we shall be. It's about when Christ shall return and glory starts. A whole lot of what we believe has to do with the future. Now, it has to do with the here and now. Faith is always in the present, but it has to do with the future. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. It's worth waiting for, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, verse 4, his soul which is lifted up, literally swollen in pride and self-righteousness. His soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. It's deceitful. It's not real. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, the first thing that I see here about faith is opposed to all forms of self-righteousness. That one whose soul is lifted up in him He's not upright. He's deceitful. What is self-righteousness? It's very simple. It's any righteousness that comes from self. What is self-righteousness? It's any righteousness that comes from self. You see, it's deceitful. It's not upright. It is a lie. That one who's lifted up, his soul is not upright. He's a liar and deceiver. He has no grounds for which to be proud. But the just shall live by faith. Now that word can just as easily be understood like this. The just shall live by trust. Reliance. I am relying. Listen, all my eggs are in this basket. I'm relying on this, that when Jesus Christ lived, He worked out a perfect righteousness for me, and that's my righteousness before God. I'm relying on that. As God is my witness, I say this carefully, I say this fearfully, but I'm relying on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I am relying on the fact that His blood is enough to wash away all my sin, and I don't need anything else. That's it. I'm relying on that. Lynn and I were talking this afternoon. She talked about that scripture we read in Philippians 3:3. That says it all. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, rejoice in Christ and only in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's what faith is. It's the opposite of pride and self-righteousness. It's relying on the Lord Jesus Christ only. It's believing the gospel. It's the assurance that comes from believing that what Christ did is everything. It's not the bare bones minimum. It's everything in salvation. I really believe that when He said it is finished. My salvation was finished, signed, sealed, and delivered. I can't get any more saved than I am right now through the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. Trusting His righteousness, you realize you have no personal righteousness. You really believe that. Do you believe that? You believe that about yourself? You have no personal righteousness, but you have the very righteousness of God. It's so simple. The just shall live by faith. I turn to Romans 1. This is the second time it comes up in the Scripture. Paul quotes this. Romans chapter 1. Paul says in verse 14, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. This is my agenda. I'm going to preach the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. Now, in the gospel, we have this glorious phrase, the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is revealed. Now, understand this. I know I've said this before, but I want to say it again. David said in Psalm 71:16, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Now, why did he say, I've only made mention of thy righteousness only? Because his righteousness is the only righteousness there is. The only righteousness there is the righteousness of God. If I'm saved, it's because I have the righteousness of God. Now, the righteousness of God, you may speak of the righteousness of God imputed to me. You may speak of the righteousness of God imparted to me, but it's still His righteousness. It's not human righteousness. It's His righteousness. Now, the righteousness of God imputed to me is the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ charged to my account. And it's mine, and I'm accepted as the very righteousness of God. The righteousness of God imparted to me is what happens in the new birth when God gives life. He gives a new and holy and righteous nature. The new nature, that which is born of God, the righteousness of God. The gospel declares the righteousness of God. This righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. From the faith of God to the God-given faith of men. You know, only faith understands faith. It takes faith to believe. And it takes faith to have faith. As it's written, just like Habakkuk said, the just are justified through faith. Galatians chapter 3. This was a blessing to me to think about this. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, if any part of your salvation is dependent upon something you do, that means you're of the works of the law. And if I'm of the works of the law, what does the Word of God say? I'm under the curse. Now let's go on reading. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It is very clear. It is very plain. For the just shall live by faith. Now I love this statement. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. It's clear. Now, let me give you three reasons why it's evident. First, read verse 10 again. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You know anybody like that in and of themselves? You know anybody who fits that description where they've continued in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them? Why? No, unless Christ's righteousness is charged to you. That doesn't describe any man. No man has lived up to that standard. It is evident. Find me a man who in himself, without Christ's righteousness imputed to him, could be described by verse 10. There isn't anybody. Nobody's done this. But here's the second reason it's evident. It's evident because God never intended to save anybody by law keeping. He never did. I'm saved the same way Abel was. Looking to the Lamb. I'm saved the same way Noah was. Being in the ark. I'm saved the same way the children of Israel were. Being in the house, being in Christ with the blood over the door. It's always been the just shall live by faith. God never intended to save anybody by works. This is always the way it's been. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise. If God gives the inheritance to me because of some work of obedience on my part, it's no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, the Lord Jesus Christ and those in Him. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. All the law does is show you that you're nothing but sin. That's it. Doesn't do anything more than expose to you who you are. And it's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You see, there's always only been one way of salvation. God never intended anybody to be saved by the law, but by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to think of Abel. He's one of my heroes. Killed because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Killed because of his testimony. What's the New Testament have to say about him? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered the blood of the Lamb. He wouldn't come any other way. By which he obtained witness by God that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. He testified of that sacrifice he brought. That's how he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. It's evident. The just, the righteous before God, shall live by faith. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Or Hebrews chapter 10, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 10. Now the writer of the Hebrews is quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I was thinking about this while I was driving back from Pikeville last night. I thought, well, I wish the Lord would come back soon. I really, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, he that shall come will come. We can count on that. I wish he'd come back soon. Don't you? Now, verse 38. The just, the righteous before God, shall live by faith. Not by works, not by feelings, not by experience, but by believing that Christ is all in his salvation. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now what is this thing of drawing back? If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. I mean, as a matter of fact, if I draw back, I draw back to perdition, according to that passage of Scripture. What is this thing of drawing back? Now, this word drawing back is a nautical term. I don't know anything about sailing, but it has something to do with sailing. To draw back means you slacken the sail so you don't drive along quite so fast. You kind of slacken them and go slower. You don't go quite so fast. You let it down. Now, at all times, in all of our experience, the just shall live by faith. Never anything else. And if we draw back, if we let the sail down to make it not quite so strong in that area, we do so to perdition, he says. Let me show you how this word is used a couple of other places. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 20. Paul is giving a summary of his preaching. And he talks about how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. That's what it is to draw back. It's to keep back. It's to hide. It's to not put to the forefront what you believe. Look in verse 27. Here's the same word. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I didn't take the sails in. I preached all the counsel of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. I think this tells us even more. Galatians 2. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Now this is a very intense meeting between Paul and Peter. And Paul actually publicly exposes Peter in front of a bunch of other people. And can you imagine how difficult that was for Paul to do that? Can you imagine how difficult it was for Peter to take it? Oh, that would embarrass me to death if somebody I respected and loved exposed me publicly about something. But that's what was going on here. And Paul said, I had to do it. Now let's go on reading. Verse 12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. He was having a good time fellowshipping with them, enjoying them. But when they were come, these Jewish believers, he withdrew. That's the word. He let the sail down. All he did was move tables. He didn't say anything. He just said, I'm going to get up here and walk over here and sit down with the Jewish brethren. And by that, he was saying, it's true, Christ is everything in salvation. I believe that. But you're a little bit more pleasing to God. You're a little bit more accepted. You're a little bit more holy by observing what the Jews observe. And what he was doing by that statement, he was saying that Christ is not all in salvation. He was slacking the sails. Now, in this thing of faith, believing God at all times, in my experience, at all times, I can't get an inch past this. The just shall live by faith. I never grow beyond that. And if I do, I've left the Lord Jesus Christ. Look the way he says that back in our text in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if he slackens the sail, so you don't go quite as strongly along and open up other things, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? We are of them which believe to the saving of the soul. The saving of the soul. If I'm saved, it's not because I believe. If I'm saved, it's because God the Father elected me before time began to be saved. If I'm saved, it's because Jesus Christ was my covenant head and my surety. And He walked upon this earth as my representative. And He kept the law for me. If I'm saved, it's because my sins were placed upon Him and He put them away. If I'm saved, it's because God the Holy Spirit gave me life. And you know what? I believe that. That simple. I believe that to the saving of the soul. You see, faith is the evidence of things not seen. I can remember a time when I struggled so much. What is this thing of believing? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the contents of the Bible. But what does it mean to believe? And I couldn't figure it out. What's it mean to believe? And I try to believe. But you know, you don't try to believe. I try to decide to believe, but you don't decide to believe. You just believe. You find yourself believing. God says believe, and you believe. May God give every one of us grace to believe His gospel. I want to be in on this. The just, the righteous before God, shall live by faith. Let's pray.